Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This podcast is also a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And our final sponsor is brought to you by Reclaiming the Classroom. Effective learning happens because of a relationship built between a teacher and a student, not due to government mandates and high-stakes testing. You can learn more at reclaimingtheclassroom.com. And I want to give a quick shout out to the patrons of the show, John, Roxana, Nancy. Without you, I could not do this. Patrons help support the production of this show for as little as $1 a month. At $10 a month, I'll send you my favorite leadership books every other month. Click the patron link in the show notes if you've gotten any value from this show and would like to also invest in me. You could follow John on Twitter at jfortneyeds. Roxana at INEZ9900 and Nancy at TechWNancy. And she has a great resource for school leaders as well. www.teachingwithnancy.com. Well, it's time to get better. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Hey, this is Daniel from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create winning cultures, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you, you who are interested in your own leadership development. You want to get better. That's why you listen every week to the podcast and read the blog. I'm excited to bring you today's guest, Lavanna Roth. She is the founder of Ignite Your Shine. You can check out her work at igniteyourshine.com. Her specialty, her sweet spot, is really helping leaders create an environment where everyone feels cherished and valued. I think you're going to enjoy the show. It's so nice to connect with you. You know, a few episodes ago, episode 27, I interviewed somebody that I've been forming a relationship with, Jeff Zoell. And he told me about this great conference, What Great Educators Do Differently. So I thought, let me look at the speakers page. I'm sure there's some dynamic personalities that I want to connect with and bring their insights to my audience. And I found you. So Lavanna, can you explain a little bit just what got you inspired to be in education? And then please dig in for the audience about Ignite Your Shine and kind of what you offer educators.
All right. So yeah, the What Great Educators Do Differently conference with Todd Whitaker and some of the just amazing, like you said, speakers. I'm so honored to be invited. April 8th and 9th in Houston will be, I think it's the second one. So the fact that I get a chance to be a part of that. And yeah, so they chose great ones. And then they said, well, we might as well put another person in there. So I guess we'll go someone like Lavanna. No, it was so honored. So very excited about that. But yeah, I was inspired to be an educator kind of by accident, I guess you could say. It was one that I started out in psychology in college. And after a year and a half of grades not being so hot, as in put on probation, I went, something's going to have to change here. So what I realized is that I do love psychology. As a matter of fact, a lot of my work now, it has to do with neuroscience and neuropsychology. But I didn't want to hear about, you know, Pavlov and Freud. Give me what I have to know right now and put it into practice. And that carries true to form all the way through being an educator to now being as a consultant and speaker. And so it's one that I finally one day I went, okay, this is not working for me. What can I do? And when I looked at the program at the university I was attending, I knew that education kind of like caught my attention a little bit. And then what I ended up doing was looking even further and found one that was teaching the hearing impaired. And I got really frustrated at two jobs that I had with when we had some deaf or hard of hearing folks come in. I couldn't communicate with them. We had to write everything down, and that drove me crazy. So I ended up taking the path of, you know, teaching the hearing impaired. And ironically, all of my teaching for 10 years had nothing to do with deaf ed, but I did put it into practice, the sign language in my classroom, because I found that it worked really, really well with kids. So now we fast forward through quite a few things, becoming a consultant, author, speaker, and then my latest thing is what you mentioned was Ignite Your Shine. and Ignite Your Shine is all about kids not fitting into a box of reading, writing, math, and science. They're way more than that. And I'm speaking from own personal experience that that is not where I showed true colors or really knocked out the ballpark in school. Yet I still consider myself to be successful. And I look at so many other people, they're very, very successful. So knowing that kids struggle in general with, you know, different areas, but it doesn't define who they're going to be, and it doesn't define their success. So Ignite Your Shine is an acronym, but the focus of it is how do we build confidence in kids based upon their strengths and what they're phenomenal at, instead of beating them up over their weaknesses. And again, I'm not saying that we don't build on those weaknesses, but what I'm saying is really focus on what is it that they're great at, because that's truly what they're going to use in life and really make this world shine. So the S, just to go over it quickly with you, and if you want to know more information, I'm happy to answer, but the S is all about self and what are your strengths about yourself? And how to use those strengths to serve yourself, not in a greedy and one of those selfish ways, but in a way that you can use that to serve yourself. Because when you take care of you and serve yourself, you can also serve others. Now you have the energy for that. The H is the heart. So heart is what is your passion? And so if you take, what are you passionate about? What lights your fire? And you put that with your strengths. We have a very powerful package that kids now can really own and feel confident. Like, hey, this is me. And this is what I rock at. And then we get to the I, which is inspire. And inspire is how do I inspire myself through those tough times, and when people tell me I can't do something or you're dumb or whatever they're told, how do they inspire themselves through those moments and how they inspire others? And then when we get to the end is navigate. And the navigate is that path, your story, your legacy. And a lot of times we're putting into a little bit more solid formation. We think about what is the end goal and how are you going to get to that goal? What are those steps, that action plan to make that happen? And then by the time you get to the E, all the work has been done, because E stands for exceptional. And in the end, you are the exceptional you that you were meant to be. So ignite your shine.
That's wonderful, Lavanna. And just to summarize, the S is self, H heart, I inspire and navigate, and E is exceptional. And that message that you have for the world, I would say, is exceptional. You know, in the pre-interview, we talked about this story of a teacher and having a hard day. I'm wondering if you'd like to unpack that for our audience. And could you also go into what was the vision behind these bracelets that you created as well?
Okay. I'll start with the bracelet part of it. The bracelet is made out of a bicycle spoke, which doesn't rust, which I absolutely love. And it has a deeper meaning to it from the gentleman who hand makes these. And he handcrafts every single one of them for based upon the size of the wrist of whoever orders them. So they're custom made. And then the bicycle spoke, though, is all about being the spoke on a bicycle, depending upon where it is and that spoke is in the rotation on the wheel as it's going, you know, going down a road on the bike. It depends on whether it's having the highest pressure or the lowest pressure, depending upon where it is. And he talks about in life how we all have low pressures and high pressures. But the cool thing about a wheel is that when one has low pressure, so if you're having a tough time, that's okay, because there's other spokes that are taking over at different times and helping you out, supporting you. Mm. So when I heard the whole behind this, I went, wow, okay, it has even deeper meaning than I was even thinking, because what he can do is he can bend these bicycle spokes into bracelets, like I said, that'll be customized. But he saw a design that looked like a rope. But when I saw it, I saw a light bulb. And light bulbs have always been a part of the covers of my books in some way in there. And then Ignite Your Shine, obviously a light bulb shines. So I was so excited about this. Well, what we have is it's shaped now more really formulated to look like a light bulb. And then the base of a light bulb that screws around, that there's 5 wraps for it, because there's 5 letters in shine. And so I've been getting the most incredible stories. I can't even begin. I mean, tears in my eyes from people who have lost loved ones to cancer. And because they have the shine bracelet, it's helping them get through those moments and to remember that how that person shined and how they themselves can continue to shine. And I had a teacher named Amy who sent me a message recently. And she said, my students and I were having a really tough day, a rough morning, came back in from lunch. And she goes, and myself included. And she said, we ended up, they made a line and they rubbed the shine bracelet. And she said, at that moment, it kind of switched everybody around and they had a much better afternoon. And she said, I just want to thank you for helping us and others and reminding us to share the shine. And after I got into some more conversation with her, she was telling me how some of the students who tend to have rougher days asked if at any time they were having a rough day, they could come rub her bracelet. So part of my dream, my vision, which, you know, it's probably going to be down the road a little bit, But I'm going to be looking for sponsors where we can get these bracelets, you know, on the wrists of students. And I've already worked with an entire, I think it's four or five classes of fifth graders at a school, and every single one of them has it. And the thank yous they've written and the comments of, I'm never taking this off. And one girl, I have to tell you this, Daniel, one girl stood up, and unfortunately I missed it on the video, but she said, you know what? I learned that I can come to school and be me. I don't have to be anybody else. What more could you ask for? That's amazing.
It's beautiful, actually. It's the type of message that you want to have. And what I love about what you're doing as well, it's such a positive, encouraging message. And it's really, to me, a lot about mindset and mindset shifts. Just like the anecdote you just shared, folks were having a tough day, but making it like a habit to wear that bracelet and some type of trigger by touching it, rubbing the bracelet, it said, you know what? Things can be better. And it helped people focus on themselves. What could they change around and have that positive experience that they wanted to have in the classroom just from a bracelet that looks simple but is actually quite deep. So thank you for sharing those stories. That definitely is benefiting the listeners.
No, you're welcome. And I want to say what's really cool is that they're now, those that are wearing them, we've taken a step further that if the light bulb faces out toward others, that means you're having a good day and you're helping others shine. But if you're having a rough day yourself, you turn around and have it facing you to remind yourself how you shine. But you hit the nail on the head with, it's all about the mindset and positivity. And within our brain, we get these patterns, these loops, and it can be negative or positive. And so if you're in a negative, like, oh my gosh, it's Monday, I hate Mondays, and today's going to be terrible because I have this meeting, I hate this meeting, whatever it may be that your negative is, when you see the bracelet, you know, that's what I want to see happen is that, wait, hold on. Am I shining right now? How can I turn this around? And it really is breaking that looping pattern in your brain to say, you know what? Bracelet is that constant reminder of, wait a minute, stop. Am I being positive? Can I flip this around? Because it is up to me.
So listeners, if you're looking for a way to flip around your mindset, you know, you've been stuck in a rut or maybe you're just facing a really challenging time, we will have linked up in the show notes the exact page where you can pick up your Ignite to Shine bracelets. And I definitely encourage you to check those out. Now, Levana, I was on your About page, and it really spoke to me, this picture of the type of school or district that folks are trying to create. So I'm going to read a little bit from your About page, and then I'm going to ask you a question, how to build that type of environment. I mean, I found this captivating. So it says here, Ignite Your Shine is a movement to fire up those in your organization, school or district, to create a place where we cherish and value everyone. We are so pumped, and we want you to be too, about creating environments where every person wants to be actively present, know they are valued, are bursting with confidence, not ego, and ready to illuminate the world with their gifts. And I'm going to stop there, but that's the school I want to create, Levana. And so in terms of working with you and your message, like, how do we do that? You know, can you unpack a little bit of how to build that type of culture?
Absolutely. So I think it comes from the individuals in the school having to make the choice to understand that it really is a choice. You know, if you come to school and you have that mindset of, like I was saying a few minutes ago, of, oh my gosh, here we are again, and I hate this and I hate that, I can guarantee you how your day is going to go. We can all predict how it's going to go. Versus making the choice to be positive. And so I think it's super important to get everybody on the same page, including students. And to understand that, you know, when things happen, I'm going to give you an example. Yesterday, I'm pulled into the car wash. I'm so excited because I've been meaning to get my car washed for 2 or 3 months now. But instead of me going, you know, I've met for 2, 3 months. This is ridiculous. I can't believe you're just now bringing it into the car wash. I can go down this whole path with that, right? Instead, I was like, yes, I finally made it to the car wash. And then they come around. They said, excuse me, who has? And they named my car. And I was like, well, they washed that really fast. And they're like, ma'am, there's smoke coming out from under your trunk, and you just blew your coolant and the radiator hose. And I'm like, what? So immediately my reaction was, are you kidding? It's the holidays, money. Like, my head immediately went right there, right? And I went, okay, stop. You can't do anything about this. What can you do about your attitude right now? And what was crazy is there's a gentleman sitting there, and he said, ma'am, it's your radiator hose. He said, I tend to tinker on cars. And he said, and what I noticed is it's the coolant blew out because the radiator hose. And I said, I know. I said, I'm going to figure out what to do about this. And he goes, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I thought, holy cow, this is like someone reminding me to make sure, Lavanna, this is what you preach and this is what you always work to practice. And here's someone saying it right to you. So, but that was a moment. I could have like lost it. I could have, you know, but I made the situation worse than it really was. And so I think having people on the same page in the same building, now you all are a reminder, wait, time out. It's not that you can't vent. It's not that you don't have a bad moment, you know, but to remind, okay, wait, stop. Because how bad is this really? And I am a believer that everything happens for a reason. And I do believe that we have a choice in how bad we decide to take that and how good we look at things. There was a post on Twitter not too long ago that something along the lines of, it's not how the glass isn't half empty. The glass isn't half full. It's actually refillable. And I love that. That's a totally different twist than how I looked at it. So when I think in a school building, you know, whether you're celebrating each other, when you see someone's having a tough day, what little thing can I do, like a handwritten note, a silly face, a hug, anything to give back to them to kind of change that around? Are you taking moments to figure out how does everybody shine? So when I worked with these fifth graders, we had stations around the room in the cafeteria, and they visited every station. Every station had a different point to it, had a different meaning, hands-on funny, being silly, learning to let go, at the same time getting serious about who they are. And if we do that with individuals and do it with colleagues, you know, instead of saying, oh my gosh, here she comes again, you know, negative Nelly, she's going to go off again, instead stop and say, how does this person shine? Okay, what is great about them? What can I focus on instead of focusing on the negative? Because we all have negatives about us, right? We all drive somebody crazy with something we do. But what is it that I can focus on instead? And that, and again, it goes back to, I just want to reiterate, celebrating each other. What can you do to celebrate?
And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by the book Reclaiming the Classroom by Trenton Goebel. Are you like me? Are you just sick of testing? Do you have that type of fatigue? Well, I have the solution for you. Reclaiming the Classroom, the book by Trenton Goebel, is an in-depth exploration of a political climate that favors high-stakes testing and government mandates over the skillful art of teaching and provides teachers a road back to professionalism, autonomy, and respect. Doesn't that sound nice? Well, it does, and you should get it today at reclaimingtheclassroom.com. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day. And that's why I created a free gift for you called the 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You could grab it for free by texting the word unlock now, all one word, unlock now to 33444, and it will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. What I love about your explanation there is you're talking about moments that they're not, you know, set in stone. It's malleable. You can shift your mindset, which we already talked about. I love how you sort of discussed the importance of community, and the fact that, you know, in the sense of the car wash, you had somebody, you know, mention it happens for a reason. That helped shift your mindset. Or even at school, you got people around you. Hey, is it really that bad? What are the positives here? But I absolutely love the idea of looking at an individual, every individual, and asking yourself the question, how does this person shine? And folks that have listened to this podcast, you know, sometimes I share a little bit about my faith, but that's very similar to a question that sometimes I ask myself, which is, how does God view this person? And I believe just in a God that's full of love and very positive. So it's exactly your message. How does this person shine? And when you're walking into work, and you might have a negative view, or you're stuck in a rut facing the challenge, whatever it is, or you might have a broken relationship with that person, they really rub you the wrong way. If you ask, how does that person shine? There's no way but to shift your mindset, to look for their strengths, and figure out, you know, how to encourage and really support that person. So thank you so much, for sharing that. That is a question all the listeners need to ask about all their staff, all their students on the daily basis.
Yeah. But even that kid, you know, the one you're like, are they ever absent?
I know that kid. Yes. I know that teacher sometimes too.
Yes. Right. You know, but remembering to focus on, okay, this is my own personal issue that I have with this. So how can I change this around? Because you can only control you. You can't control anybody else.
So Lavanna, we've talked about some really positive things here and encouraging things, but I love to ask, high capacity leaders like yourself, what's been your worst leadership mistake and what you've learned from that? So please, you know, pull the curtains back, let us inside your head, and what has been that mistake and what did you learn?
I'm going to say that I thought for a long time that leadership, it's about power. And I'm going to say that that was probably my worst thinking and my worst leadership mistake overall, because I knew there was something wrong with it, but that's what I felt everybody knew and everybody did. And that's what it's all about, is I'm the boss. You do what I say. I don't care what you have to think. And I never came across anyone that way. But inside, I knew that, hey, you disagree with me. Guess what? Too bad. But it didn't ever sat right with me. And I worked for a couple companies, had a chance to play the managerial role and be a business development manager and things like that. And every single time I felt myself backing off because something didn't feel right. And more recently, I've heard about servant leadership. And I'm like, that is exactly what I believe in. You know, and it aligns with Ignite Your Shine. And I feel super great now. I mean, you say high capacity leader. I thank you for describing me that way. you know, I try to do my best. I believe that I'm here for a reason. I had an incident in my life 5 years ago that I should not have been here. And bottom line is I am. And so I think of, you know, about shine, going back to the S is about your strengths, but also how to use those strengths to serve. And that aligns with servant leadership. It's not about a power trip. It's not about, well, I hold this office and you don't. I'm sitting in this big chair. You're not. You know, I have these office walls and you're not. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with shared control and how are we here to serve. And when we talk about schools, how do we serve our kids? Because that's what matters, and that's the number one. Nothing else matters. So it doesn't matter whether it's my decision we go with, your decision we go with. It's what is the best interest of our kids, and that should drive every decision. And so if I were to, you know, continue doing what I'm doing, which I plan on it by all means, but even if I were to, I was at one point on the path to become a principal, and I was getting ready to interview for assistant principal. And if I were to do it now, it would be a totally different mindset before, you know, than it was before. And I truly wish everyone to some extent had an opportunity to step out of their comfort zone and have an opportunity to lead and to be led and to feel what it's like from all different types of leaders. And I'm not saying that there one is better than necessarily another, but to choose what do you feel is best and the most impactful. And that's what we should be doing.
Knowing what you know now and through all the vast experiences you've had, what would you tell people that are in that position you described, interviewing for that assistant principal or principal position for the first time? What would you like all school leaders to know stepping in their first role of leadership?
First of all, take a nice deep breath. You know, it's a change, and a kudos to them, because change is not always easy. So to expand that circle to get, you know, to widen the circle is what I call it, is you're widening that comfort circle. The only way you can widen it is to get uncomfortable every now and then and to grow that. But be aware that those in your building can be, should be, want to be your greatest supporters. And to me, you aren't really a leader if you're leading everybody by yourself. To me, a true leader is where you're listening to what others have to say. You're listening for guidance, because sometimes, you know, we love to think we're right. Like, we all think we know it. We got the answer. We're right. When all reality, that's not true. And we know that. And by listening into, I don't know, I mean, we can all think back to a time where you're thinking, okay, yeah, this is my viewpoint and this is where I stand. And then somebody says something and you're like, holy cow, I never thought of it that way. Wow, that's a great perspective. Oh, I didn't know that side. When you talk to others and you listen to others, you have a chance to hear all of that and to broaden your own perspective and viewpoint. And again, it goes back to what I said of choosing what is best for kids, because that's what we're all about in education. And I'd wish them good luck, by the way.
Best of luck. That's right. Lavanna, what is one class we should add to our schools that's currently not offered that you know of in our nation?
I'm going to say entrepreneurial skills. So when you look at the rising jobs that are out there, they're predicting at this point that in the future, not too far from now, a lot of companies aren't going to be the huge companies. Most of what we're made up of are entrepreneurs. And when you look at what an entrepreneur does, they have to have discipline with their time. They have to wear many, many hats and understanding, okay, how do I, you know, do sales, accounting, finance part with outside of accounting, there's other pieces. The looking at how do I create a goal and go for it? What are the steps? How do I balance everything? You know, there's so much that goes into being an entrepreneur. And when I think about that, the reason that I say that, because my answer probably a couple years ago would have been, let's go back to the basics. You know, I don't know a time that I have ever used Algebra 2. not saying you wouldn't, right? Depends upon your career and your choice. However, it would be fantastic to understand how to invest in the stock market. It would be great to know how to build my retirement. Yes, some of us still write checks because we have to with certain companies. How do I write a check? How do I balance the book? How do I know? You know, we could go on and on and on, including credit card. What does the debt do to you? Okay. So I think of those kinds of things. But now that I'm an entrepreneur, all of that comes into play, plus way, way more. So many skills that you can use in any job, even communication skills. So I'm really curious to see how things change. But if I were to add one class in, and I would want it to be where kids know that whatever their strengths are, they can go after that dream, even if it's working for a company, becoming a teacher, working in a school district, being their own boss, whatever it may be. I want them to have the confidence. And that's what Ignite Your Shine is all about, is building that confidence for this is who you are, own it, and what are you going to do with it? And again, it doesn't matter what they do, but entrepreneurial skills, I think there's just so much into that that I have learned, holy cow, so much. And I have 1,000,000,000 other things to learn too, but at least it's a start.
Absolutely. Lavanna, tell me this. How would you like to be remembered as a school leader?
Someone who had, okay, you said pull back the curtains, right?
That's right.
Someone who had the guts to/confidence to go for the changes that she believes needed to happen. For example, I've recently started speaking out on this, and it's, you know, the Gifted and Talented program, and I'm not saying anything negative about the Gifted and Talented program, but if you have, you know, Leticia sitting there and we say, hey, Jesus, head to Gifted and Talented, how does she feel? And I'm not talking about coding warm and fuzzy, and we don't let, you know, we have to buffer everything so that kids feel great about themselves. That's not what I mean. There's a definite part of grit and perseverance they have to have. But why do we have a Gifted and Talented program? Because what that says to a kid is that you're not gifted and talented. And by the way, you're not gifted and talented. And that is 100% false. Mm-hmm. They are gifted and talented, just not in the way that we're identifying, which typically happens to be science and math. Right? I want it to be where we look at the strengths of kids and it not be all about standardized testing and, oh, you're terrible at this. And okay, we've got to give you high reading intensives because you're terrible at reading. Well, you know what? There are many, many people out there who have been very successful with low reading skills. Many people who've been out there who haven't been in the Gifted and Talented program and are successful. So I think we sent the wrong message with the name of that program, first of all, and how we accept students into that program, how it's framed. But I also want it to be where, again, we're moving away from the weaknesses of people and saying, this is how you rock. This is how you illuminate the world. And then how do we make that so that you go out there and you shine? And I think we would see a huge difference and high school dropout rates if we did that. So that's who I would love to be known for.
I agree with that 110%. And, you know, also on your about page, you talk about let's find where people's strengths are, then foster and flourish them in a way that compares to nothing else. Do you have any practical tips for school leaders on how you do that? You know, how do you identify these strengths? Because I'm all with you. Some folks even say, you know, ignore your weaknesses, identify your strengths and really just amplify those. But if I'm listening to this episode 29 of Better Leaders, Better Schools, and I don't know how to find my strengths or find my staff strengths, my student strengths, what are those practical things we can do to identify them and then help them flourish?
No, that's a great part, because it's not necessarily that easy, but yet it is. I think one of the easiest ways to do this is through observation, you know, observing those around you, whether it's your students, your colleagues, your school leaders that, you know, are finding their leadership voice and helping them. But when you notice that somebody is really strong at something, honor that and value that. You know, when we talk about noticing kids who are fantastic at drawing, you know, they may drive you crazy because like they're always doodling in my class. Do they ever stop doodling? That's a clue, right? Zone in on that. Okay, they love to draw. let's look at their ability. What are we doing to help increase that ability even more? Because they that skill alone can add so much value into the world. And then, so observation is one, listening, you know, eavesdropping in. What is the kid passionate about? What is it that they love to do? And like when I worked with those fifth graders I told you about, of course, the most number one answer was video games, which understandably so at their age, you know, but there's something about that. What is it that they find intriguing? Maybe they like to be challenged. How do I put that more into my classroom and challenge them? And ask kids, you know, so observation, listening, and just ask them, have conversations, get to know your kids. They will tell you so many things about what they are good at. And that's what I think we need to really focus on is when they say, you know what, I'm pretty good at, and a lot of times in a society, we hear that as, oh, listen to them. They think they're all that, you know, they're all that in a bag of chips. We hear that phrase, you know, or they're really egotistical. No, there's a difference between ego, as you read from my website, the ego we leave at the door. We don't have room for it or time for it, but we do have to build confidence. And that's just me owning who I am. And so building that in kids by finding it, fostering it, flourishing, like we said, and then letting them own that and, hey, this is what I'm great at. So I think that's a huge part of it. You can even go a little deeper with, there are some personality tests out there, like DISC, D-I-S-C is a big one. True Colors is a big one. And those will give you some clues about what is it that those people are phenomenal at. And so you can change your instruction, change your leadership to kind of accommodate each of those. And then you touched on a point that I think is really, really valuable when you talk about basically what I captured from what you said was, you know, praise versus encouragement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we should not necessarily praise kids more, but watch how our language is with them. So if a student, for example, came to me, and they're like, look, I got a B. I actually got a B. Something I've learned to do and I do with my own daughter is I've pulled back and not that I never praise them, but I say I tend to go down the path more of you got a B. Holy smokes. How did you get the B? And they're like, well, I studied. Tell me how you studied. And then they tell you how they studied, right? Well, I did flashcards or I put a little action to every single thing that I had to know. Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. So when you studied by doing this, you got a B. And they're like, yeah, I did. Is that better than what you got before? Yep. Wow. How do you feel now? So, but notice the focus is all about them, not mm-hmm. me doing that extrinsic, oh, I'm so proud of you, way to go. I'm not saying we never do that, but building more of that. First of all, how did you get that? And two, look at what you did, right? And that may be the support of others. Maybe they say, oh, my mom helped me or, you know, my teacher helped me. And we value that. But I think it's those combinations of everything can really help us figure out more of how kids do shine, and then what do we do with that to move forward?
Yeah, I love what you're doing there in terms of just asking questions, and it's such a simple thing that we inherently know but often avoid, just asking people what they're passionate about, but then in terms of the conversation with your daughter, instead of going and telling her how proud of her you are right away, and sure that's important, but just asking her, how did you get there? And really, I guess, helping her identify the systems that she had in place in terms of studying or her organization, et cetera, to help her get that grade. And how did you, I love that question. How did you feel? How did that make you feel earning that grade? And it made her feel good. And so that reinforces those positive habits that we want our children to form. So you described that beautifully.
Thank you.
So speaking of systems that help us be successful, and especially like, I mean, you're all around the world speaking at conferences and helping out countless school districts. I'm sure you're getting requests for work and just people want your time all the time. So how do you avoid distractions and stay focused? Are there boundaries that you have set up or just really, you know, what is it that you do to help yourself be successful?
Daniel, I was hoping you could help me and tell me how to do that, by the way.
I can, but that's a different conversation.
All right, we're going to have that one. Yeah. No, actually, I've made some changes over time that have helped me a lot. And one is a lot of awareness of myself. You know, when I'm home, I work in a home office, but that can work for me at times. It also can work against me at times. You know, it's one of those where, you know what, well, let me just go clean up the kitchen real quick. And oh, by the way, I needed to run and do this errand. And next thing I know, half the day is gone and I've achieved next to nothing. So I've had to be honest with myself and make sure that I'm owning what it is that I need to accomplish. And one way I do that is I have an accountability partner. And she also is an entrepreneur, but it could be anybody. So I highly recommend this with anyone. When you're trying to accomplish something and you know that you easily get distracted by so many things, because we all have 1,000 things being thrown at us at once, and it's juggling and try not to let any of the balls drop. But wait, that's a priority, but so is that. So what I've learned to do is my accountability partner, the night before, I text her my 2 or 3 things I'm going to focus on and accomplish the next day. And then she holds me accountable by the end of the day to make sure I did that, and I do the same for her. That has made the world of difference. Another thing that I think would be really valuable, especially even for educators as well, is learning to schedule your time. And it sounds kind of crazy, you know, because you think, well, I can't schedule everything, but what I find is that with educators, and I share, and when I do my workshops, I share this quite a bit with them, that you're in a career that you are so passionate about, or you wouldn't be in it. Because of that passion, you will always feel that you never did enough. So what do? You work yourself to the bone, not taking care of the S and shine, not taking care of you, and you get burnt out. You need mental health days. You're getting sick all the time. And, you know, you need that inspiration. And so how do you do that? So I think it's important for everyone to just kind of focus on how do I take care of me and how do I push that forward? And Daniel, I'm going to be honest with you. I forgot the question.
No, it's all right. We were just talking about avoiding distractions and stuff. So that's great.
That's perfect as I get distracted.
No, it's not good. But something I want to tell the listeners right now, and this is going to hurt, guys. So, and gals, brace yourself. Lavanna talked about self-care, and I think that that is unbelievably important, right? And so you got to identify what's going to give you and replenish you, fill you up so that you can give to others. But the challenge, what's going to hurt, is this. Now, we've gotten to leadership positions because of our high capacity to work, bright ideas, the way we have led and influenced others. Here's what I want to say to you. School's going to go on if you're not there. Now, I'm not asking you to be absent for weeks and months. Of course, not that. But if you need to take a day, it's perfectly okay. We're giving you permission to do that, and everything's going to be fine. So sit with that, think about it, and then schedule a day for mental health.
Right, and that's why I encourage everyone to do. I think part of us and taking care of yourself is to schedule yourself in. You know, so you schedule your family in, and that really helps me from distractions, because I know that when I'm with my family, I can forget about the work part because I schedule the work. When I'm doing my work, it's okay. I can focus on my work because I've scheduled the family time. And it really helps me to balance all of that. So one of the things I encourage them is to take the challenge, you know, of what you just said, and even schedule that in. So what is it something that you're going to do for you at least twice a week? And it's not for friends. It's not for family. Yes, that may bring you joy, but literally for you. Are you going to read a book that has nothing to do with education, for example, that you've been wanting to read? Because we all know, we all pick up the books. Yeah, my husband is an elementary principal. We're going on a cruise here in a few weeks. And what are we doing? We're both bringing books. But what are they? They're books that have to do with work, right? So finding the time of saying, no, I'm not doing that this time. I'm taking a pedicure. I'm getting a massage. I'm doing a bubble bath. And nobody else is going to be around because this is about me. This is me time.
So tell me, besides cruises that you take with your husband, what do you do for fun?
I work with teachers. That's my fun. No, I absolutely love, love, love what I do. It's because it's education. So it's because it's about teachers. I'm a huge advocate for teachers, huge advocate for students. It's very easy for me to get pulled into that too and forget about my time. And so, yeah, I have scheduled it in, but reading is one. I've gotten into running, but I have to be honest with you. I don't love it. So I'm a sprinter. I'm not a long distance runner, but in order to keep myself fit and my heart stronger, I have to run. So January 9th, I'm doing the Disney half marathon. Nice. So yeah. So trying to train for that right now. I'm not being very successful, but that's something I do for myself because I know what it does for the brain. I know what it does for the body in general, and just the release of stress that I feel. I love movies. That's probably my number one thing. Movies are my escape. Movies allow me to not think about anything else and just kind of have some downtime. And then I feel so much more refreshed afterwards, whether it's a movie at home or a movie at the theater.
What's your favorite movie? And don't overthink it. My wife's favorite movie is Parent Trap, so that's okay. Mine's Rear Window. Just go. What's your favorite movie?
Shawshank Redemption. Awesome. I love it. I love twists.
Why do you? Oh, because the twist. Gotcha.
Yeah, the end. I won't, in case somebody hasn't seen it. Yeah. No, I absolutely love little twists or something unexpected. You're like, no way, I did not see that coming. That's really cool.
What's one book every principal should read right now, Lavanna, and why?
Well, when Ignite Your Shine comes out, that one should be read. No, it's got to be written first. It's on its way. But no, I would say the one that made the biggest impact for me and I would recommend is, it's been very popular lately, but Simon Sinek, Start With Why. I just think it's all about going back to the why. It was a very powerful turning point for me. And I find myself recommending it a lot to people when they're getting frustrated, they're getting stuck or wondering what's next. Go back to the Start With Why. And that's also part of finding, fostering, flourishing with kids with Ignite Your Shine is what is their why? And that will change, of course. But right now, what is the why? What is that core? And how do you make that happen?
Are you currently working on a book then, Ignite Your Shine?
I am. That's not the title of it yet, I don't think. But yes.
Well, when do you think you might be finished with it?
Oh, you're going to hold me accountable?
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. Honestly, no later than this time next year, I would love to have it out. Yeah. There's a lot of other things in the works, too, that I'm probably going to do, like make that come out first beforehand. Some other products, some components that will support educators directly in the classrooms with Ignite Your Shine. And so I'm doing more, want to do more of providing opportunities and ideas for how do you do things within the classroom that are very simple but very, very important to helping carry that culture within the classroom. And I use the word shinetastic. So on Twitter, it's hashtag Ignite Your Shine, but I also use hashtag shinetastic. And how do you make your room shinetastic or your school shinetastic? So that's really a little bit more on the front burner than the book is at this point, but it'll come.
Who is one person you'd like to meet, either past or present?
Easy. Ellen DeGeneres.
Why would you like to meet her?
Because I appreciate how she has a lighter side of life. You know, and she has a humor that she can make something so funny, but it's not degrading someone. It's not about putting someone else's down, someone else down. It is all about finding the funny things in life. You know, so go back to what we said earlier about everything happens for a reason. You know, and it's finding the humor in things, like lighten up. And I love how she causes me, and I don't get to see her very often her show, but when I do, she just causes me to remember, okay, breathe, lighten up. It's all good. It's all fun. And life should be because you get one life.
Is there a tech resource that you leverage to help you be super effective?
Nothing super effective. I hate to admit it, Daniel. I'm pretty old school when it comes to like taking notes. One thing I did just do because I listened to a podcast by one of the inventors of Evernote, and it'd be interviewed by Tim Ferriss, author of 4-Hour Workweek. And Evernote has a lot more features than I thought it did. So literally last week I re-downloaded Evernote and I want to implement it more because currently I would say iCal, that calendar that's my most one, you know, currently because I'm in my calendar all the time and it's super important to keep my calendar straight because I have messed it up before when I didn't have anything synchronizing. So iCal is great, but Evernote's really, really cool. So I'm super excited to learn more about it again and all the its new features.
Yeah, I absolutely love Evernote. I consider myself maybe an Evernote expert. But going back to your calendar thing, guys, every single guest talks about the importance of scheduling your day. And I'm going to beat this dead horse like crazy. Like, schedule your stuff. If you don't prioritize your life, somebody else is going to. So make sure that you use that calendar every day, every second.
That's so true. Especially as administrators, you know, you all get pulled in so many different directions and so easily in so many distractions and figuring out how to block off your time and say, this is a non-negotiable. This is time that I'm focusing on this. This time I'm going to be in the classrooms, non-negotiable. It doesn't matter who stops by. Understand that this is the priority. It's those kinds of tools, I think, that are super helpful. So, yeah.
Lavanna, you are building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you were given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
All right. So how long is this allowed to be?
However long you want. It's 40 minutes. Go.
All right. I'll get to the core of it. I want the school to be focused on strengths-based, and I think we've talked about enough why. Yeah. Why I think it should be strengths-based, why it should be about gifts, talents, and skills. And I think it should be where everybody, it's a shared control. So that would be my second thing is I don't like the word control, honestly, but shared leadership, maybe shared say in what all happens, including students. So every stakeholder has a voice. And obviously someone does have to be at the top to make that final decision, but it should be everybody's involved. Everybody feels valued. And then the third one I would say would be probably imagination. As crazy as that sounds, and you use that when you ask the question, but just because things have been the way it's been doesn't mean it has to be that way. You know, at one point on Twitter, on a chat, I had asked if you could redesign your classroom in any way, no boundaries, what would it be? And one of the things that came to my head of what I would love to have is a wall that is a sliding glass door and a pocket one. So you can open up the entire thing and it takes the outside to the inside. And being able to go on field trips and not have to say, well, we only get one a year, 2 year. Nope, we can't afford it anymore. We're doing zero. Because I truly believe that it's the experiences that kids will remember, they will own, and nothing ever beats a hands-on experience. Getting out into the world, interviewing people face-to-face, going to a factory and seeing how things are done. That's when we really broaden their perspective of what they could do out there. So I would definitely say those three things is the imagination and then having that shared leadership, you know, shared voice. That might be a better way to say it, a shared voice. And then also really focusing on the strengths base, because I think that's where a school could just, I mean, can you imagine what could all happen with that? It would just be mind blowing.
Absolutely. Lavanna, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what is the best way to get a hold of you?
Parting words of advice. Going back to one thing we mentioned was you have one life. In the end of that life, what is it that you want to say? What is it that you want to leave behind? And actually, I did a tweet this week, and it said, you have your photo album. What would you want the last picture to be? And so think about that, and how do you get yourself to that? And just learn to relax. Enjoy life. Don't take it so serious and say, what is it that I'm phenomenal at? I'm going to own it because that's how I shine. So I can be found on Twitter at Lavanna Roth. So it's, since I have an unusual name, I'll spell it. It's LaVonnaRoth. Same name for LinkedIn. Facebook, a little bit different, Lavanna.Roth.92. And then what else? Let's see, IgniteYourShine.com is where the bracelets are. And I even have earrings now that say shine on them too. So IgniteYourShine.com. And then I also have my prior work to Ignite Your Shine has been all about how does the brain learn and how do we raise engagement in the classroom. And that's where my 8 books, what they're based on, and a lot of my workshops and keynotes have been with that. So that is on LaVonnaInc.com. So again, LaVonnaInc.com. Daniel, I want to thank you so much. I've had so much fun. You are awesome. You guys someday have to meet Daniel. He's amazing. He makes you feel so relaxed. So I'm going to toot his horn for a moment and say that's one of the ways that he shines. Thank you.
I really appreciate that. I don't know why it's hard for me to receive that feedback sometimes. And you know, some folks share that, and it always, I don't know, I'm blushing now so the listeners cannot see, but yeah, it's always kind of awkward for me to receive a compliment, but it means a lot to me, and thank you.
No, you're amazing, and you need to own it. Remember, we just talked about that. You have to own it.
That's
you
right.
Can blush. You can blush while you own it, but you still have to own it.
Thank you. Better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Lavanna. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Lavanna in the search bar. And the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episodes, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. If you have an iPhone, tap on the cover art and the show notes will magically appear. Lavanna, thank you for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you. Go have a shine-tastic week.
Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.